Yes, darling, but is it art?
Elise McDermott is a Tamaki-based artist whose sculptural and installation practice explores everyday encounters with nostalgia, memory, and cultures of consumerism and production through found objects and materials. In her current exhibition at Room Gallery, Pop Sediment, McDermott has reconstructed and recontextualized these objects' forms, letting familiar references and playful aesthetics of pop culture and our domestic worlds into the gallery and public space. In giving them these altered identities, the work serves as an opportunity to reconsider their value, challenging our pre-existing conceptions of these objects' worth through this material language. I had a kōrero with Elise McDermott about the show and her overall practice.
My name is Elise McDermott, and I make installations and sculptures mainly, but sometimes assemblages. And a little bit of painting and collage as well, a lot of mixed mediums. And I use secondhand objects and found objects from like around the streets or in like vintage stores around the home. And I make them into kind of interpretations of different interiors, like from houses to commercial spaces, waiting rooms, places where I think that people are having experiences or are situated in. I do this mainly because I think, especially in contemporary and modern society, we are surrounded a lot by excess. And when I look around us, I see just like an abundance of things and textures and surfaces all the time. And I think it's important to kind of bring a light on the way we use things and what we do with them afterwards, and kind of how they withstand time compared to us.
Talking about your current show at Room, Pop Sediment, there appears to be these common threads of nostalgia and adolescence, pop culture and memory, where, like geological sediment, you've accumulated these found and secondhand objects, deconstructed and recontextualized their forms, giving them these altered and new identities and structures in the space. I guess to kind of begin speaking about the show, and I guess you kind of touched on it there, but are you able to speak to this choice of subject and what interests you in this exploration of memory and nostalgia?
Yeah, well, I think society is kind of at this intersection where I find that we're constantly grasping onto like tradition or past content, nostalgic content, but at the same time we're always trying to move forward and looking towards the future. And I feel like with Pop Sediment, we're looking at kind of a theoretical figure. It's not my things or about me as the artist or any experiences I've had. It's just experiences that are happening in these spaces. When you are accumulating all the materials together, grouping them, curating them, that's when these kinds of meanings come out, where people are looking at these things and then relating to each other, because we're seeing things that we recognize and maybe things that we also don't understand as well. So that's really what Pop Sediment is all about, and the layering, the physical layering of the artworks and the physical layering of the objects is where we see like this hypothetical idea of what it might mean or how valuable it is compared to items or objects being used how we might normally assume, like in our homes, we're using them for a purpose or a function. But when we move them into a gallery-like room, we can begin to see what they kind of have to say on their own, and what we might assume from that as well.
Totally. I feel like there's quite a contrast between, I guess, these ideas of memory and nostalgia, which feel like quite soft concepts compared to these ideas of like production over consumption that you're also kind of touching on simultaneously. How do you kind of see that relationship between these quite contrasting concepts?
So I think the softness of the objects comes through naturally, through its traces of use. And then the subject itself emerges when we see that use. And when we see evidence of it coming from somewhere else or evidence of it relating to the current situation. So I think the character that's emerging assuming it's this adolescent or this teenager, is coming through in these visual relations that we have between like colors, how media is presented to us, the kind of demographics that different media looks like, and those kind of things converge, I think, in the nostalgic tone comes through in the post-encounter, but it's not like a driving factor, or it's not about one specific nostalgic viewpoint.
I guess I want to talk a little bit more specifically about the material and the objects in the show. I understand that this gravitation towards found and secondhand material is quite strong in your practice, and I think in this show viewers will quite easily find at least one reference that speaks to them, whether it be the reference to the 2000s anti-piracy ad on a satin pillowcase or the nylon magazines or a keychain. Are you able to kind of speak to these object choices more specifically? And you kind of touched on it a little bit at the beginning there, but the process of obtaining and locating them as well.
It kind of originally started out as trying to be a little bit more sustainable, but I think it's more of an accessibility choice at this point. I'm constantly looking through like things through my house, other people's houses, willing. And I think getting secondhand objects or found objects roots these ideas in reality. When you're making something new from something that already exists, we already kind of have this idea of what it might be. And then when you start to combine them, these new forms start to emerge and it becomes more complex in meaning and maybe more relatable to different types of people. So when I'm collecting, I'm usually looking for things that are interesting in form. I'm not specifically looking for something for like a specific show. Like, I have a large amount of items.
That is your order.
Yeah. And usually I'll pick and choose, kind of bring them together and see what kind of vibe is coming from them as they start to be grouped. And often my works, I deconstruct and use the parts in another work as well. So it's kind of like a permanent process of recycling almost, which I think feeds into this kind of non-linear timeline that's happening.
Yeah, I guess with that, I guess in process, does that feel like you're more materially driven or conceptually driven? What comes first, the idea or the object?
The objects definitely come first. They're always sitting there, and then I just kind of slot them in. I see them as almost like a jigsaw puzzle. They kind of fit together, and then I can kind of start to see a story almost coming out, but it's not a story that I feel I'm dictating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't have, like, a plan or, like, a sketch in mind and then make that artwork. It's a very playful process. A lot of temporary fixtures, throwing things together, taking them apart, definitely.
Yeah, we touched on it a little bit earlier, but there does seem to subconsciously be this kind of element of sentimentality in the work. And I don't know, I kind of felt like walking in felt like it was almost like a window into like a teenage bedroom of sorts, which could elicit all sorts of feelings. And I guess in that sense, you're kind of bringing in the domestic into this gallery space, into a more public space. How do you kind of see that public and private tension and the way it recontextualizes the work in these objects?
I think sentimentality as a whole is constantly shifting, and it's shifting through ownership, through placement, through the economy. So when we're assigned to identify these objects and bring them into spaces like galleries, it's really questioning value. It's really questioning value. It's about, why do you think this might be important? Is it important to you? Could it be important to someone else? And I find there's really no fixed answer when we start to look at value. especially with these items, I think they're equally sentimental as they are cold or removed. I try to keep them a little bit ambiguous. So there isn't really a definite answer going on. It's almost a little bit uncanny at times. Kind of like within our world, we recognize some of the bits, and then other pieces, they seem to fit in with the narrative that's happening, but they don't, they're not really telling us anything specific that we can accurately pinpoint, which I think is the same with value. And when we think about our domestic spaces, we are surrounded by so many items that we've like either inherited, or maybe we saved up to buy it, or maybe someone gave it to us, or we don't know where it came from. And when we're taking them out of those spaces and putting them into galleries, it just makes this, it's almost like exposing them. It's like taking all the walls away and exposing these little like environment settings that are happening within these four walls that we're then committing to our memory.
Yeah, allowing people to see them for what they are outside of the context they usually find themselves in.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's so interesting to hear you talk more about the work. I guess for viewers who do go and see the show, do you have any hopes for people engaging with the work?
I hope that people kind of embrace the unknown, or something that you might not understand, like... Even myself, even after I make the works, I'm still kind of feel like I'm having a one-sided conversation with them where I'm asking it what it means or what I should tell people it means, and it's just sitting there. Yeah, and I think people should be really excited about the show because I think there should be maybe a little bit more playfulness within the art world. And not so much rigidness towards how things should look. I think it should be more about like how you're feeling or what they might make you think about after you leave. Which would be exciting.
That was artist Elise McDermott speaking to me about her show Pop Sediment, currently on at Room Gallery until the 21st of February.